Thank you.
When Mr. Trump first became president, he made a directive to the female staff members that the women should be professional in the White House and that they should wear dresses to work. Well, hashtag dress like a woman campaign started on both Facebook and Twitter with all these professional women who wear uniforms. So police women and firefighters and astronauts and women in the military and even race car drivers were sending pictures in to Mr. Trump, sort of protesting what he said. Well, nearing the end of Mr. Obama's second term as president, a story came out about Muslim rugs and rooms in the White House. For the past 7 years, trying to appease the Muslims working at or visiting the White House, silence had been ordered 5 times in the White House for Islamic prayer each day. There was prayer rugs and crescent moon symbols that were available to anyone sort of in the executive mansion to make Muslims feel more comfortable. And the Islamic prayer is observed for 25 minutes per day, 7 days a week in the White House. Well, what do these two stories about our last two presidents have in common? Well, the reaction to both stories were quite critical. But the problem was, neither of the stories are true. I mean, it's amazing to me, since the 2016 presidential campaign, story after story started coming out that was false. It was fake news. Tens of thousands of fraudulent Clinton votes were found in an Ohio warehouse right before the election. Transgender suicide rose due to the Trump victory. When Trump first came to office, the Martin Luther King Jr. bust that was in the Oval Office was removed. Trump's travel ban led to the death of a mother who could not travel here to get medical care. Well, all of those stories that you've heard are fake news. They're all not true. I mean, fake news really has become part of our vocabulary since 2016, when it was used to try to influence the U.S. presidential campaign. And if anything, I mean, it's getting worse and worse. The lies that are coming out on the news just are getting bolder and bolder. Well, the Federalist, which is a conservative-based web news organization, ran an article that said 16 fake news stories reporters have run since Trump won the election. And the article reads, it has become a regular part of our news cycle, not distinctive from or extraneous to, but part of it embedded within the news apparatus, embedded like a bicycle wheel. Whenever you turn on a news station or visit a website or check in on a journalist or media personality on Twitter or Facebook, there is an excellent chance that you will be exposed to fake news. I mean, it's rapidly becoming an acceptable part of the way that the American media is run. The Federalist went on to list many other examples of sloppy, biased, or downright false reporting designed to discredit this presidential administration that is there right now. Well, fake news. I mean, this sort of recent human condition that we might find so bizarre is really nothing new. And I want to show you some examples in the Bible. Please turn to Matthew chapter 28. Because we see the same thing was happening during the time of Jesus. Matthew 28 and verse 11, this was after Jesus' death and he was resurrected. Some of the women went and saw him. In verse 11 of Matthew 28, it says, "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while he was dead. If this report gets out to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And the story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day." Fake news. But we also see it in the early church. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, we see this phenomenon way back in Jesus' time and then continuing into the early church. In 2 Corinthians 11, we'll start verse 1. "I hope that you will put up with me in a little foolishness." Yes, please put up with me. This is Paul. "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think," verse 5, "I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. When I was with you and needed something, I was not burdened to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I've kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of these other regions by them will stop boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not. Why? Because I do not love you. God says I do. I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things that they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." And so again, we see this fake news in Jesus' time, and it continued into the early church. But why do people make up fake news? Well, the Bible reveals to us why human beings do this, and it's in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the verse. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The human mind, including the heart or feelings, is the most deceitful of all things. It is incurable. No one can understand how deceitful it is." I mean, Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 7, verse 11, "If you then, being evil," that is, having the corrupt nature contrary to God that is common to man, "know how to give good gifts to your children." I mean, the Apostle Paul lamented the human condition again in Romans 7, verse 15. When he said, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." I mean, fake news embodies the evil part of human nature. Remember when Jesus said, "It is not what people put in their mouth that makes them wrong. It is what comes out of their mouth that makes them wrong. I mean, surprisingly, fake news didn't begin with human beings. I mean, think about it. Who wants to use deceit and indirect methods to lead humanity to a path of destruction and death and deceit? And we heard about it last week. I mean, fake news began with and is perpetuated by the God of this world. I mean, Satan is very angry at you and me. I mean, his devious, scheming goal is to destroy humanity by motivating us, in a sense, to do his dirty work. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It's describing Satan's nature here. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. As a result, they don't see the light of the good news about Christ's glory. I mean, think about Satan for a moment. He used fake news at the very beginning of humanity. And we all know the story in Genesis 3, 1 and 6. And I'll read it in Genesis 3, and we'll start in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And we all know, and we learned about it again last week, that Satan didn't start out that way. I mean, he originally was an honored, high-ranking angel. But he went rogue. He rebelled, and he became Satan. I mean, the word means adversary or enemy, the destroyer of all things. Ephesians 2, verse 2 shows us that he is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. I mean, Lucifer became narcissistic, I can't say that word, and corrupted himself. He rebelled against God and he tried to throw God off his throne. But instead, God threw him back to earth and constrained him here on the earth. Now, since Adam and Eve chose to follow him in their sin, I mean, Satan rules over the kingdoms of this earth until Christ returns. Well, since Satan couldn't remove God from his throne, he turned his anger on God's creation, the earth and its inhabitants. I mean, if you can't destroy the Creator, then destroy his creation. That is what Satan is trying to do. Listen to God's warning through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you have received a different spirit which we have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." That's another version of what I just read earlier. I mean, Paul goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. But Satan is not an angel of light. He's the prince of darkness who blinds most of this world to Christ's glorious good news. I mean, he uses falsehoods like Christmas and Easter and Sunday worship. I mean, fake news I mean, what is it? Fake news is lying. It is breaking the ninth commandment. I mean, Jesus brands Satan as a liar and the originator of lying. Lying is sin, which God hates. Satan's spread of fake news has corrupted humankind from the very beginning, and he is dedicated to annihilating human life. I mean, that's what he wants to do. Well, God knew that we would be in this environment in the end times, and he has warned us of some things. Galatians 1, verse 6. I mean, God knew what it would be like for us late Christians and the environment we would believe in. Galatians 1, verse 6 says, I am astounded that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let them be under God's curse. And in Colossians 2, verse 8, tells us to beware of fake news. Colossians 2, verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elements, the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And he goes on to warn of this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. I mean, God knew that people who were in the church for years and years and years would get tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. I mean, it's our natural tendency that we want to hear something new. But we have to be careful of that because that can lead to us believing, in a sense, fake news. But the truth is truth. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, but test them all, hold on to what is good. In Matthew 24, verse 5, Christ warns us, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah, and he will deceive many. In verse 11, it says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Going on in this chapter in verse 24, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And fake news will be prevalent in the end times, and it will be convincing to many people. John 8, verse 42. John 8, verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were the Father, you would love him. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to the Father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He speaks, yet because I tell you the truth, do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I am telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me? Satan is very clever. And sometimes falsehoods or lie, they're not big and giant like we've seen a lot of lately. I mean, sometimes they're subtle. The deception is very subtle. Recently, I watched a program on TV about prayer. And it had a Catholic priest, a Protestant minister, a Jewish rabbi, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, and some New Age kind of minister type. And they were all talking about prayer. And it was kind of a nice, feel-good kind of program, concentrating on the similarities and not the differences between all these religions. But really, in a sense, these people were saying all religions really lead to the same God. And as long as each person is true to his or her own religion, we'll all eventually be together with him. Well, in this day and age, if you state anything as true or absolute, I mean, you risk being called mean-spirited or narrow-minded or bigoted. I mean, people say, hey, I have my own belief system, and if you imply that my belief system is less valid than yours, well, then you're intolerant, you're closed-minded. But please turn to John chapter 18. Because here we're going to see some text that revolves around a legal inquiry into the truth about Jesus. And here, the Jews were trying to have Jesus executed, but they didn't have the authority to do it on their own, and they needed the Roman approval. Well, their purpose in bringing Jesus to Pilate was to get him to authorize the execution of Jesus. So Pilate asked Jesus if he was truly a king. And in John 18, verse 37, Jesus responds, "You are right in saying I am a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I have come into this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Well, Pilate responded in a very cynical way. Well, what is truth? I mean, what he's really saying is, hey, nobody really knows what truth is. And really, that question touches upon one of the greatest issues of our day. I mean, what is truth? Can anyone really know truth? I mean, our culture has largely rejected the idea of absolute truth, and it has ridiculed those who cling to such a notion. There's no moral truth. There's no right or wrong that universally applies. That's what our society teaches. But let's quickly look at three points about truth. The first point is that truth is something that can be known. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, so how can we know the truth? Well, just before Jesus made this statement, he said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." I mean, the truth is found in the word of God, in the word of the Lord. And Jesus came to testify to that truth. The word of the Lord is true. The Bible is true. It's reliable. It's inspired. I mean, we're bombarded daily with messages from this world that are not rooted in reality. And recently, many are just outright lies. I mean, usually the deceptions of Satan have a grain of truth in them to make them more believable. But the Word of God, the Bible, is true through and through. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And the Word of God will reveal to us truth. If we want truth, we can have it. The second point about truth is as eternal as God Himself. I mean, truth is an absolute as God Himself. Truth does not originate in man. It originates in God. He is the God of truth. In fact, a description of God must include the concept of truth. God is love. God is holy. God is righteous. God is truth. God does not just tell us truth or reveal truth to us, but God is truth. When people say, well, truth is relative and not absolute, they're misunderstanding the origin of where truth comes from. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, he's not saying, hey, I got some great ideas I want to share with you. He is saying the very definition of those things, truth, is found in me. I mean, in contrast, the devil is the father of lies. All truth originates in God, and all falsehood originates in the devil. I mean, people will embrace one or the other. Truth does not originate with people. I mean, really, we only have two options. We either accept the truth or we reject it. The difference between right and wrong is not found in what people think. It is found in who God is. If we don't understand this, we will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Third point is that truth is transforming if it is obeyed. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It says, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. I mean, the results don't just come from hearing the truth. I mean, Pilate was hearing the truth when Jesus was speaking. I mean, in fact, he was standing right in front of, face to face, with truth incarnate. Yet he made the wrong decision. Now that you have purified yourself, how? By obeying the truth. Truth is an essential element in the solution of problems that we face in our life. I mean, we have a problem, right? And we want God to fix it. Well, the way he normally does is through a process that involves truth. He brings truth to bear on the problem, and as we walk in that truth, then we'll enter into the liberty and victory in that area of our lives. I mean, God operates in the realm of truth, and he teaches us to operate in that same realm. I love this quote by Winston Churchill. Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them will pick themselves off and hurry off as if nothing happened. I love that quote. Truth is available to you and to me. I mean, Jesus has made it available because he is available. I mean, there's so much fake news out there, but there is good news. I mean, God's good news, in contrast, is healing, it's hopeful, it's peaceful, and it leads to everlasting life. I mean, the good news is that fake news will be gone when Jesus Christ establishes the kingdom of God on earth following his return. Humanity will then keep God's holy laws and Sabbath that God reveals in his master plan of salvation for everyone. I mean, the good news will overwhelmingly triumph over Satan's lies and the fake news that he generates. I mean, in the end, we know Satan will be put away. Truth will come to all. Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. This was read last week about what's going to happen to Satan. And I saw an angel coming out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be set free for a short time. I mean, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. There will, at that time, be an age of truth. I mean, today, we live in a more and more cynical world. People are cynical about politics, about moral values, about truth and religion. But in the midst of all this cynicism, stand firm in the truth of God's word. Remember what Jesus says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.